Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Alistair, this is just me, Alistair Trombley-Birchall, just starting the episode by saying, again, we don't have anything to plug this week. That's all done. Comedy Festival is finished. Obviously, Magma's always there for you to get at sospresents.com. But we're not plugging that. We're not plugging that because we don't have anything to plug again.
That would be like a fish plugging water. You know, it surrounds us at all times.
Exactly.
It's everywhere. It's always.
Exactly.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, that's
anyway.
Right. But that fish instead is immersed in the pop test and magma. Anyway, we don't have anything to plug this week. So,
drink a big cup of water. Drink a big cup. Drink a big cup of water. Drink a big cup. Put it in your little lips and drink it all up. I really stuffed that one up.
I don't know how you could have, Andy. Hello, this is Two in the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Alistair George William Trombley-Birchall.
And I'm Andy. And Al, do you reckon there's been like sort of a transition, maybe over maybe the last 3 years, maybe over a much longer period of time, that I'm only just becoming aware of where I am now the member of the group who can't be trusted to do anything?
No, Andy, I want you to know that even just on this very day, my beloved's mother said that you are in many ways the leader of the group, but I'm but I'm the goofy charm.
Well, that's great. As long as that illusion is maintained for all exterior purposes.
I mean, I know you. I know you're a mess. I know you're truly a puddle of goo. But not everybody does. Everybody just hears that,
you know,
that slick ability to pop out a script without a mistake. And they think there's a master at work.
Mm.
But then I'm the one who knows that's the one thing you can do.
I'm a fucking husk, Alistair. Nah. There was a time when I was called by somebody the most reliable man in comedy, and it has been downhill catastrophically since then.
Well, don't worry, Andy. None of us are that, and that's okay. You don't want to be the most something. We need a sketch idea.
No, that's true.
We need a sketch idea. We're not even doing what the podcast is for, which is...
Sorry, Alistair. You see, you're right, and this is all my fault. And once again, I've done it. I've brought us to this place. And I apologize. All right. What about this? It's a drug that makes you more reliable. Punctual.
Mm. What about...
Oh, I mean, I guess that feels like just some kind of OCD type thing. I mean, but sometimes it feels like a little bit of OCD would be quite useful. And well, maybe if we could just medically imbibe, you know.
Yeah. Wait. So wait, what is it? It's a thing that makes you more reliable.
It's a little bit of... maybe gives you a little bit of OCD so that you can be more punctual and stuff. But then I don't know if people with OCD actually are more punctual and whether they're late to things because they're at home switching the lights on and off 17 times before they leave the house.
They hate it when you say nice things about them like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
is punctual, punctual, yeah. Is that even a nice thing in this day and age to say that somebody is punctual?
I think
almost an insult.
Some people value it, but
yeah,
I think when you call somebody punctual, I think what you're really saying is they're not hot. That's what I would take. If you go, you had to look so deep for a compliment that you're just telling me I'm not hot, and you know that's what I value, being hot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd rather be late and beautiful, right? That's what you're saying?
Than hideous and on time. Hideously on time.
Yeah, it feels like you're a nerd. Like, being on time is for nerds.
Being late is edgy.
It's edgy, it's cool, and it always will be. I tell you what sucks, though, waiting for people.
Waiting
for people is the worst.
No, I love it because it's no responsibilities. You're there, you got free time, and it's not your fault.
Yeah,
you don't have to do anything. I love it.
It's even better than it not being your fault. It's definitely somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Right? That's the best. There should be a service that books in meetings with you.
Yeah.
Like you can somehow do this. You call them up and they'll book in a meeting with you.
Yeah.
Block out a chunk of time with a hard, start time where you've got to be there. And then you show up there and it'll be somewhere you want to hang out anyway, so it's okay. And then they show up really late, if at all. You know, maybe they just send a text to cancel.
But here's the problem with this one. Like, I love it, Andy. I do love it. I'm going to start even writing it down. I've at least written the dash, right?
That's all I need. My body's already releasing the endorphins.
But
just at the dash, just the hyphen now. I'm a Pavlovian dog.
Yeah, you're just releasing all the good chemicals.
Salivating.
Endorphins. What's the other one? Serotonin.
Dopamine.
And urine. Just releasing the urine because that feels good.
And
too.
Urine. The other good one. Mm. Yes.
It's a good one to release, though, and it does feel good to release it. So it's not that dissimilar from dopamine and serotonin. I don't know what it would be like on the brain or in the brain, but still, I wouldn't want to not try it. What I was going to try to say. Is that with this company, the thing is, the problem with it is that you can never contact them to organize this meeting. Because if you know the company... Wait. If you know the company does this, what they have to be doing is they're providing a societal service. And they are calling people, cold calling people, and giving a hard sell on this meeting. And you,
yeah, and they got to mix it up every time because you're never going to suspect that it's them.
It's got to be a new. They've got to have a new front every time.
Yep,
or at least
new actors, or at least new people doing great new voices. They've been working on new characters,
and then they got to be convincing boy.
This would be a great sort of part-time job for improvisers. Just get them on the phones, improvisers, impersonators. You could stock an entire call center with them. And I also almost feel like, the way you were phrasing it like that, this needs to be a government service. We pay our taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't the government guarantee me just a bit of guilt-free free time? I mean, that should be a fundamental human right.
Yeah,
I mean, forget reliable broadband. What about a little bit of peace and bloody quiet? What about a moment to myself? What about the human right to some time to just be without feeling like you've got to do something or be somewhere? You're already there, and there's nothing you can do.
Hope you're not waking your kids with this
enthusiasm.
With this enthusiasm of how much you'd love a bit of free time.
my kids can scream extremely loudly right next to each other, and. Not wake each other up.
Oh, really?
Not screaming because anything awful is happening, by the way, in our household.
No.
Oh. Screaming kids just contain a certain amount of scream that needs to be vented. It's like steam. Was that, what in Monsters, Inc., was it, and it was scream-powered?
Yeah.
Was that sort of a pun on steam-powered?
I guess so.
Because that was kind of the basis of their like industrial revolution was scream, right? Like everything was.
I mean, now that you say the steam,
maybe they didn't even realize that.
No, I think they must have realized because they've kind of got like canisters, like compressed air.
Yeah,
which
you're
is, I guess, how you would store steam if you could store it long term.
Yeah, that's the problem is that steam gets cold, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Would be kind of cool to be able to just keep it though in a thing. Yeah. Just keep it how keep long, the hot steam.
How long could it stay hot in a thermos?
Really good question.
Maybe like one of those vacuum ones. I bet you NASA could make one that you could get a nice, you know, let's say so that you could make a cappuccino in space.
Mm.
And you send them up with a bottle of steam.
Well, I mean, even
so you could froth the milk.
A version of, I don't know what this would be, but like a version of like SodaStream, but it's soda steam, right? And it's
hot
for
soda.
Doing your cappuccinos at home. So you buy a canister of steam from the service station. You go, you put it in your SodaStream thing, and then you have a certain amount of steam that you can use. This is not funny or interesting or useful, but it does feel a little bit clever.
Yeah, I've got it. I've written it down. Canister of steam. So, I think it's a really stupid product. You know, stop using all that electricity at home, making steam, or you know having to get the coals on.
Yeah, I mean, what is there a reason why you would take a thermos of steam to work or something? So you know,
make a cappuccino at your desk. Always,
it's true.
People, we're losing so much productivity by having people
getting up,
going to either the coffee shop or to the sort of the company coffee machine.
What would be great, Alistair, would be if you could. I mean, what I'm going to describe now is just basically a bomb.
Yeah.
But you know how like is it Guinness beer? Has like some sort of little thing inside it that I think might even contain extra bubbles or something
what
to make
does?
It frothy. Does it have a little widget or something in a can of Guinness beer? Is there a little thing in there that makes it extra bubbly? Because it feels like you could have, like, you could sell a can of coffee, right? It's got milk and stuff in there.
Yeah.
And then when you crack the top, the little canister of steam.
Mm.
Just releases the steam, froths the coffee, heats the milk, and you could just, you know, if you just, you just need to be able to store the steam in there for months of storage on the shelf or, you know, in a vending machine or whatever.
Well, I mean, I think the Guinness, it's got that nitro. Maybe is it made with the nitro in some way? Those nitro bubbles? Maybe that would be nitrogen bubbles.
Yeah. Very possible.
I never thought of nitro being nitrogen. Anyway, go, continue, Andy. You sounded like you were about to say something.
Well, I wrote down the word pissing earlier
pissing.
While we were talking.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about how good pissing feels.
Yeah.
And it does feel so good. That, you know, that first release of like you needed to piss and you've released that piss. And I think it'd be so good to be able to have that feeling all the time.
Mm.
Right? And I think... To achieve this,
a pipe.
What we would need, a pipe.
Yeah.
We would need a pipe. I'm so glad you're on the same page as me, Alistair.
Well,
I've been thinking pipe this entire time.
I mean, when I called you, when the phone was ringing, I don't know why, but pipe just entered my head. And I didn't realize that was
incredible.
The universe telling me that you were going to bring up.
It was prepping you.
Bring up a device, like a perpetual motion machine. That allows...
This is exactly it, Alistair. This is exactly it.
That allows piss to come out of your penis constantly. Or vulva.
Constantly.
Constantly. And then comes back up. Into...
And is pressurized. You know, there's a little pump or something.
Oh.
You know, maybe it needs a battery. I mean, it could be perpetual. It could be perpetual, Alistair. But I feel like there'd be a loss of...
I know, but you can squeeze the muscles a little bit to give it a little extra.
You can.
When it loses a bit of...
A little push.
When it stops feeling not as good, you can just give it a little push.
Yeah. So nobody knows this, but everywhere you go, you're always pissing. And the piss is coming out of your urethra. Around and then in through a little thing in your back somewhere, I think.
Yeah.
And then back into your bladder, which is always pressure. It's always pressurized.
My God. I think mental health would disappear.
Mental health of any kind, good or bad,
people would
feel
no
longer exist.
People would feel good constantly.
That's right.
With the perpetual piss machine.
I mean, there'd be some technicalities to work out because people are still going to need, still going to produce urine as well because people are still drinking liquids and that sort of thing. And you couldn't just leave this thing all, on all the time because the pressure would just build up and up and up.
Why?
So they'd need to, because their body's producing new urine. Like it's not actually, it's got, you've got a closed system at the moment, Alistair. So you've got to release it at some point as well.
Yeah, but right? You could
blow off a little bit of extra piss.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably have a, like off, you know, the engine that on the pump that would produce heat. You could probably release some of it as steam as you walk around.
Great.
So then you actually never need to go to the toilet. So you're saving time in your life as well. And that, just the knowledge of that.
And you're just in a cloud of piss steam.
Yeah, but the knowledge of that, the knowledge of that would also make you feel good.
Yeah, that's true. It's double feel good. I mean, there's a bit of a downer on being in the cloud of piss steam, but also if you're always in a cloud of
piss steam
and everyone else is always in a cloud of piss steam, if everybody's in a cloud of piss steam, then nobody's in a cloud of piss steam.
If you're moving forward, you're not in your own piss steam.
That's another, you know, you're like a shark. You can't stop or you'll smell your own piss. Just like a shark.
They actually can't. They never get to smell their own piss. I guess they can go around in circles, but
yeah.
But then you're going around in circles, you know, and that feels bad. And then
feel right. Yeah. I mean, do they know? Do they know that they're pissing?
Oh,
they're swimming through the thing.
That
they're all sharks.
Oh, that moment where they feel absolutely amazing.
Because they're always peeing in the water.
Well, do they know that they're pissing? Oh, they know. They know.
Yeah. No, but what I want to know is whether they know that they're swimming through the thing that they're pissing in, you know? Because
like
it's basically
a big ocean of shark piss.
Yeah. But then it occurred to me that like when you do pee in the ocean, that is one of the best pees, you know?
Yeah.
And so they probably feel great about it.
They've got it even better because when you pee in the ocean, you think, is this going to attract sharks? Which for them is like, oh, that could be a mate.
Yeah. Or just a new friend.
Yeah. Which also can be expressed through the word mate.
I haven't actually ever given any thought to the problem of attracting sharks
when I piss. I don't know. I think the assumption.
I don't want to give the impression I do this heaps as well, but you know, it's happened.
I don't know. I couldn't name a time in the last 10 years when you would have gone in the ocean.
Yeah.
Have you been in the ocean in the last 10 years?
I think I'm mostly stuck to fresh bodies of fresh water.
Really? I can't even imagine you going into a fresh body of water.
It happens.
Have you been into a pool? When's the last time you were in a pool?
a couple of years ago, I think we went to. I didn't know this was something that you perceived about me as a dry land kind of creature.
Andy, it's not that I've perceived it. It's not like something I've thought about. But if I think about your history, I can't even imagine you wearing swimmers. I mean,
Alistair, you have been around me when I've gone into bodies of water, obviously. My famous attempt to stay underwater that was unsuccessful.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's
but then also that time that you peer pressured me onto jumping off that really high rock.
Oh, yeah.
And I hit the water like thigh first and just got such severe bruising.
Oh,
it was spectacular.
I mean, it was unbelievable. It was like a purple leg.
Yeah.
and I forgot about that. And I just, and I mean, there's a big chance that you could have died in that experience.
Yeah. Either of those experiences. I think the reason that you don't think of me as somebody who goes in water is because you've actually been around me when I've had really unsuccessful attempts to go in water.
Yeah.
And on some level, that's imprinted itself into your brain as saying that, you know, Andy and water don't mix. I'm like olive oil in a salad dressing.
Actually, I can think of a third time that we were probably in Perth and we went probably swimming with John Conway, maybe. At the beach.
Yeah, at the beach. I remember being there, but I don't remember swimming. Interesting.
Because I remember
John
him...
Conway was the person who called me the most reliable man in comedy.
Oh, there you
this
go.
Is incredible. He never comes up on the podcast ever, and then twice in one episode.
Yeah, and in that same episode, when we arrived at that beach, he was like, "Oh, I had an experience with a lady in that bush over there." And then as we drove past it, and then he said, "Oh, and she's passed away now." Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. Those things weren't connected, but it was just that it was at the time I found it to be a shocking bit of talking, you know, that made me laugh in a way. But the, you know, obviously isn't funny when somebody's dead, but.
There must be some people who it's funny when they die. There must. Everything, you know, I'm sure that there'll be someone who's found a way to get a laugh out of it.
Yeah.
Right? People are always trying.
Funny last words?
Yeah. But you want the dying itself to be funny.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, I think.
Yeah?
Also, I'm going to yell, "Great. No, you'll never take me! You'll never
take me!" Oh, that's good.
No! Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's the sort of the classic, you know, shitting yourself when you die.
What about pretending to die at the same
time? Automatically funny.
Doing a like one of those dramatic fake deaths as you die?
I would love that. It's going to be hard to pull off because you're going to need a certain amount of energy that isn't necessarily abundantly available to those who are dying, certainly those who know that they're about to die.
Yeah.
You know, if you know that you're about to die, there's usually been a preceding period of time in which some of that abundance of energy, I mean, it's almost a lack of an abundance of energy.
Is what death is.
It's what kills you,
yeah.
In a way.
Well, I think there's that part where, like, you start to become really relaxed, and it's kind of like you're falling asleep, right? And then you kind of fade in and out of consciousness
bit. That sounds good.
And, well, this is people, like, you know, dying in hospices and things like that, and you start getting a bit of that saliva collecting at the back of your throat because you're not swallowing as much, and so you kind of get that, like, that kind of thing, because you're so relaxed and you don't care. But then, that's when I would say, inject me with like some speed or methamphetamine and then pretend to shoot
give me a little kick.
Pretend to shoot an arrow at me or something like that.
Yeah. And then I can stab you with a sword like under the arm.
Yeah. And then that's when, you know, I mean, you get one last applause or whatever.
Yeah. Bellissimo. That's good. It's good. Round of applause. Yeah, it's not quite a laugh, but yeah, we'll take it.
Oh, well, I mean, what about this? What about you? Just give me a little bit of speed, and I'll have some soup, and then I'll have a slurp of soup, and they'll go, "Oh, what's in this?"
and then it's like the soup has killed you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that funny?
I mean, you could say, "I hope this soup doesn't kill me."
Oh, is that funnier?
I think it is a little bit.
I hope this soup doesn't kill me. You know what? We'll have to do it on the day. We'll both try a different version, and whoever gets a bigger laugh, I suppose, wins.
Yeah, but I mean, also, you know, they're not necessarily. You know, nobody's going to be around to enjoy it. That's the other problem.
Why?
As well.
Well, you're going to die alone, are you?
No, I mean, sorry, you or I, neither of us will be around enjoy.
I or you might be around.
I'm certainly not planning to get a laugh out of dying if I die alone. That wasn't what I was hoping for.
Well, I would. I think that's a great thing. I mean, then I'd go do it somewhere in public.
Could be that moth. Could be that cheeky moth. So you're going to die in public alone?
Maybe. In one of those gold painted suits on the street?
That's actually pretty good. That is actually probably the funniest way to do it.
Yeah.
As a gold painted fake statue, Alistair, I think you've hit on it.
Yeah.
Because you'd make so much money as well.
But just laying there on the pavement.
Well, you could prop yourself up.
Yeah. I guess the money that you make, it could go to your family to pay for funeral costs.
Exactly. I mean, you could die right there. You arrange to, you paint yourself gold. You arrange to die there on the street. You put your put that hat that takes the money over sort of a, like a little drain pipe or something, and then you just have the money sort of there's a hole in the bottom of the hat.
Mm.
You somehow have the money sucked away, right? And then, you know, collated and then put into a bank account, and you could be earning well after death.
Oh yeah.
You know, this is probably, as they keep extending the retirement age, this is probably where we're going to end up, where people will be expected to keep working,
to keep being, you know, gold painted statues on the street.
Exactly.
Busking.
Well, there's got to be something for these people to do after they're dead. You've got to continue to be a contributing member of society.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's when you know, you still take in terms of, like, you know, emotions that you're draining from the people you've left behind.
Mm. Yeah, and the people, I guess, who sort of start to suspect that you're dead on the street.
Yeah.
Smell you and stuff.
But you get a really strong smelling paint on you. Cover yourself in very strong smelling paint, and that will cover the smell for at least a couple of weeks.
I mean, you probably could just seal yourself in there.
Yeah, that's right. True.
I get, but you know, you'd start to bloat. I suppose the internal.
Yeah, but what if you wore Spanx?
Bacteria and stuff. Yes, I think we've cracked it.
Yeah.
I think not necessarily the secret of eternal life, but we have definitely prolonged death. Yeah. Considerably.
Well, you know, at least keep you looking your best without that death bloat.
Yeah.
Know? And you're not
going to... Bury me in Spanx, baby. That's going to be... that's what I've always said.
And, you know, and I'm not going to... You know, I can wear tight-fitting pants and then not show any lines.
Mm. It's a great... it's a great aspiration.
Yeah.
I think... Is it? Yeah, I had a thought. Yeah, not the secret of eternal life, but the secret of eternal life, lifelikeness, of remaining
that's
eternally
right.
Lifelike,
mm.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, is that?
I think this is definitely a sketch, by the way.
Well, no, I've definitely
written it down.
Gold painted statue death to raise, you know, maybe to raise money for funeral things. But should I put in? Mm. Is the Spanx thing a separate thing?
I don't think so. No, okay. I think that's part of it. Unless, I don't know, unless there's a new kind of vanity, there'd be like, I mean, this could definitely be a thing, Alistair,
mm.
But deathwear, you know, we could, you know, there's a lot
sure.
of products advertised, you know, people advertising funeral insurance and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
To elderly people, yeah, you know, prepaying for your own funeral, whatever it is. I guess that's the same thing as funeral insurance, almost. But we could also then, why not advertise, you know, fashion for the dead? You know, what are you going to be wearing?
Mm. Especially stuff that looks good on your bones when people dig you up.
Exactly.
Or
when you're exhumed.
Is there like a cool thing that you could be melted with when you get cremated that, like, you know, makes like a you know, a countertop or something?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what I mean?
That's
like,
good too.
You know, like, what if you were like, yeah. You know, like you were just kind of like, you pick some colors of like some sort of... not so, like a plasticky kind of one of those like moldable plastics that kind of melts and that melt in together and create a nice pattern, but in with the ash and stuff like that. Or like one of
and
those.
And they make you into a bench top.
Or like one of those clear toilet seats with the, with, you know, in epoxy resin.
Mm.
So that, you know, and it's just your bones in there.
Yeah.
And you could make a bench top with it where they could go in the garage of your kind of one of your. Family members, your kids or something like that, could keep it as their workbench, their art bench. I want my bones placed in clear epoxy resin so that my
and
kids...
And used as a my nephew's art bench.
Yeah. You think? I mean, if your nephew was in the right art field, one where he was, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, I like interesting things. And this is my uncle, Andy. There he is.
Yeah, it is definitely an interesting thing. You know, Alistair, it absolutely could that could be great. Yeah, I'm still hung up on the idea of death fashion.
Oh yeah,
if
yeah.
You
so
haven't written down death fashion.
No, well, I still don't know what it is. What is it?
We're advertising fashion to the dead. So exactly, this is the Spanx, right? Because this is people who are self-conscious about bloating after death. You know, that's going to keep you looking good. You know, what about those? You know, you're never more on display than in that open casket.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody's coming up and having a real good closed look. So this is some clothes that you can, not clothes to die for, but clothes to die in, or to be squeezed into.
So like they just
keep
squeeze
the bloat
you.
Under control.
But like, how do they fix your face? Yeah. How do they fix your face looking like lifeless and all that?
I don't. Well, I think this is more about your figure. I mean, we can leave it to the. To them, you know, there could be cosmetics. We could also add, you know, advertise a line of cosmetics.
Could you? Would you get?
You know, it could be an entire death fashion empire.
Yeah.
You know, like you.
So just be like that person in the
Chanel.
Coco Chanel.
Yeah, was she fashion? She was, right? Yeah, definitely. I was trying to remember if she's also perfume, and she is.
Yeah. And how's it different from regular fashion? Like, you know what
because
I mean?
Because it's specifically designed to meet the needs of the
But you would have like, I guess, you know, and I know that I know you hate it when I question your idea. But I guess you would have sort of like things that are like, you know, that address certain things that happen to your body when you die. So.
That's exactly right.
You know, so like, you know, maybe the underwear would come with a sort of a plug for your butt.
A plug. It was built in.
Plug. And maybe a hat.
Various necessary sections of waterproof.
Maybe like, you know, maybe it's a hat or a do-rag or something like that you wear, a death do-rag, and it's got inside some electrodes just above, you know, because the problem with the face looking so lifeless.
Yeah.
Is that if maybe you could get some electrodes just above the eyebrows or on the forehead somewhere, and it was zapping down there, it would make some of the muscle fibers twitch, and it would make it look like you're winking, you know, like people
just
come
a
around.
Little, that's really nice. That's a little something, isn't it?
He goes, oh, I still
just
got that
little wink.
He still got that wink that gave his face life.
That come hither wink come that we all loved.
I mean, you
and
could
granddad.
A similar thing, you know, like just like a, you know, a kind of squeezing thing, you know, like the, you know, the thing they put around your arm to test your blood pressure, you know,
a sphygmomanometer,
yeah,
yep,
the thing, and they, but you know how like that, you know, that really squeezes your arm a bit, but if you were to put that sort of somewhere in the middle of your forearm. And it was squeezing. That would make some of your fingers curl back like that, right? You know, have you ever done that?
Beckoning.
On your
beckoning. A little beckoning
so like,
motion.
If you kind of got
people
the,
lean in, and then you got a little Bluetooth speaker in your mouth.
Yeah. You're winking,
whispering something.
You go, come here. No, come closer. Come closer. And then something in your mouth sprays out.
Oh, really good.
You know,
really good.
Maybe your favorite perfume or their favorite perfume.
Great.
You've got all these samples, these perfume samples that you collected throughout your life, put into a machine, put into a machine, and one is linked to each person who is in your life.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, and you've got a wheel. Yeah. You've just got a wheel at the back of your thing that looks kind of like one of those bullet things in the, you know, the chambers.
Everyone's obsessed with famous last words. Yeah. Nobody's doing famous last smells.
Yeah, that's right.
That's gonna be us.
And so not just death fashion, it's a whole full death experience. But for the living.
Earlier we were talking about This is nothing, Alistair, by the way. But earlier we were talking about oil and water not mixing. But you know, whenever there's a big oil spill, and they're wondering what to do with it. I mean, has anybody ever considered coming by, just putting a little bit of garlic, little bit of cracked pepper, and maybe some chopped basil in there.
Getting a big thing of bread out there, getting people to dip it in.
Yeah. Salad dressing.
Oh.
Are there any?
Well, then you would need an acid in there. You'd need something acidic, a balsamic or a lemon juice or something.
Yeah, I was hoping that the brininess of the ocean would provide that.
I think that's more salt than it is acid.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
You know, and so, yeah, I think the acid is the main contender there for making it a vinaigrette. Mm. It's in the word vinaigre.
Vinaigre. It's in the vinaig bit of the word.
Obviously, the gret, the et bit at the end means that it's a woman.
Yeah.
That would be vinegar and the vinaigrettes. Is, you know, an acid-based band if you were doing acid rock, say.
Non, rien de rien, non, je ne vinaigrette rien. That's Edith Piaf talking about how she doesn't like...
Je ne vinaigrette rien. Yeah, je ne vinaigrette rien. Je ne vinaigrette rien. Sorry, I had to try to say it just to hear it in my mouth.
Thanks very much. I'll just have the salad plain. That was Edith.
Why, madam? Do the line. No, je ne vinaigrette rien.
Or maybe that's her at her restaurant. Everyone's complaining. Why is this salad so dry? And then she comes out.
She's the
This is in a different life. This is in a parallel universe where Edith Piaf opened a salad restaurant.
Yeah. Well,
instead of being a singer,
it's Spider-Man into the multiverse or whatever it was, into the Spider-Verse.
But with Edith Piaf.
Into the Piaf-verse, right? And you know how, like, she had a lot of hardship before she was discovered or whatever?
Yeah.
And so she... one of the reasons she had so much hardship was because, in one of the universes, was because she had this salad bar, where her whole thing was called Je ne vinaigrette rien, and which is I don't vinaigrette anything.
Yeah.
Luckily, she was later discovered to be a great singer.
I think it's later that her dry salads came into fashion and she served them to great popular acclaim.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's the classic Piaf arc.
Right. So she
does something.
So she used originally in this Piaf universe, she used to just make dry salads on the street.
Yes, and then, exactly.
And then somebody discovered her. She was like, what is that dry thing you're eating, madame? And then she said,
I just had the best business idea.
It's just lettuce. She goes, oh, c'est juste la laitue et... what else would she have? A cherry tomato, do you think? Or is that too acidic?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a La Vie en Rose.
Oh, she would have it. You know what she would have it with? I have it on toast. I have it on toast. Have it on toast, like with butter. A salad on toast. Dry toast with the dry salad. Have it on toast.
What did they call her?
It's so satisfying to say. You should say it.
No, I think you're getting the tune wrong. And I think if I were to do it, I would get it even wronger.
Andy, this song is in my head constantly. And it was played as my beloved walked out on my wedding day as
really?
Her father played it on a tuba.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wah, I was there wah, for that.
Wah, 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 wah.
Very good.
Wait, no, that wasn't right.
This is, I'm actually imagining your wedding right now, and I'm actually getting a little bit emotional.
Yeah, me too.
This is this. And as you know, this is now the podcast where we cry about songs. So,
especially played by horns. Maybe it's connected to that. Anyway, maybe those harmonizing horns is somehow connected to Pip on the tuba playing La Vie en Rose. Anyway, have it on toast. Yeah.
But Alistair, my business idea.
Okay, yeah.
It's a place where you can go and you can get a salad, but like as a bouquet. Right? And yeah. you eat it, you sort of hold it like you would an ice cream cone. And you eat the salad. So we take all your salad ingredients. But we don't chop them up or mix them up like that. We arrange them, like using flower arranging techniques.
Yeah.
In such a way that you can sort of eat down through it vertically.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we cut the cucumber into like very long, thin strips.
So it's salad bouquet. It's like a salad in a cone. Is that what you said? Salad in a cone?
Yeah, I guess it's like a salad in a cone. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't picturing a cone. I was picturing you sort of just hold it in your hand. But I guess there's got to be something to hold it together. But then I realized that if I put any kind of like wrap around it or something, then I'm just making a sort of an open-ended, boring baguette. Or not baguette, burrito or something. So you know, maybe you could bind it up with a few strands of something. Some
sure,
edible
but
grass.
I think it's completely understandable, like a flower bouquet, if it did have some kind of plasticky or papery kind of outside to stop, say, any vinaigrette running onto your clothes.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
But you know it'd be good at the bottom. You know, maybe if you could right at the end open it up and just suck out all that vinaigrette at the end.
Oh yeah. Or I mean, if we could make the cone a big crouton, I think that would be pretty cool, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
We make the cone instead of it being a waffle cone or whatever that other
it's a crouton
weird kind of,
cone.
Whatever cones are made out of. It's a crouton cone.
Oh, that would be
it's
very
all
interesting.
Fried.
You know who'd be
yeah,
really good
crispy.
At making this? Jesus making a crispy, making a crispy thing with all that liquid on it.
Yep. Jesus, who, as we all know, made a crunchy soup.
Well, it's actually Indiana's brother miracles. Did it.
Yeah, but then we deified him.
That's true.
We made him Jesus.
We consider him.
His name even starts with the same initial.
Yeah.
And as we all know from Book Cheat, that when you want to put an extra layer into something,
oh my God,
you give one of the characters the same initials as Jesus.
I genuinely just heard Stephen King mention that in his On Writing book. Where he's
quite
like,
seriously,
where he said he had seen that in a book where somebody did that, and so he decided to give a character the initials JC to make it seem like he was Jesus.
That's fucking incredible, because I bet the book that he was reading was it The Grapes of Wrath?
I don't think it was The Grapes of Wrath.
Oh,
so
well,
another
see, it
one.
Is a technique. It's just a common technique.
Oh,
it's
my,
a hack.
Oh my God, it is the most common thing. People love to mention. Do you notice the initials are JC? You know what that means? Oh, so many layers. Anyway, sorry. You know, obviously they do good work.
I'm going to rewrite the Bible, but I'm going to make Jesus a metaphor for somebody else.
That's good.
Not quite sure whom.
T-H.
T-H. Yes, Tom Hardy. Star of Batman, Dark Knight Rises, and I Spy.
Was he an I Spy?
No, Spy versus Spy.
Oh.
Sorry.
Andy, should I take us through the... Oh, no, wait. I got to do three words from a listener.
Oh, Oh, hello.
You know what? I thought we were done, but then I realized we got to do three words.
Oh, this is the little crunchy bit of extra vinaigrette at the bottom of the cone.
Oh, yeah, just in the little vinaigrette cup.
Mm-hmm.
The vinaigrette cup, you know, with the crunchy vinaigrette cup, which I think, Andy, I got to say, that crouton idea is a great idea. I can imagine lowering that crouton. You know, you probably have to carve out a baguette and then into a cone.
I think we could make it some sort of, you wrap bread around into a cone and then you put it in a deep fryer.
Yeah, yeah, but I think you fry it. But it can't be baked into that cone shape, right? Like initially.
No, you start it with soft bread. You know, this is where croutons come from. They're soft bread originally.
Yeah.
And then you fry them, right? So we'll just get soft bread. Mm. Put it into a cone shape and then fry it.
But imagine you got a day old.
It becomes one big crouton.
You got a day old baguette in your house. And then you just get yourself a whittling knife. And then you cut off that outer crust. And then you start shaping a cone.
Alistair, you know what I'm starting to feel like we're getting close to?
What?
This could be one of our foods. I know it's not a soft food. I know it's by definition crunchy. But I think if we could eat a little salad baguette. A salad bouquet.
A little salad.
On the 300th episode.
Oh, yeah.
Be pretty good.
Do you think we would have to have a little deep fryer there to whittle a baguette into a thing and then deep fry it into a crouton?
That's exactly right, yes. Unless we can somehow get some pressurized boiling oil in a little canister that somehow, you know, much like the steam.
Just release it into the room.
Just release it into the room and it just fries things in the air around it.
Turn the room into an air fryer.
Or yeah, I mean, you know, those canisters of, you spray out those canisters of you know, oil. You know how you can get just oil in a can to, like, spray on your cooking surface?
Yeah, you just heat that up till it explodes.
Why can't that come out, you know, at several hundred degrees? I could just spray it onto things and just fry them,
Andy,
like that.
We could do that. All we got to do is right at the end, as we're reading through the sketch ideas at the end of the 300th episode, which we're going to, if we are alive at that point, we can just take one of those sort of aerosol oil canisters and put them on a hot plate. Right? Put it on an electric hot plate that we can just plug in. And then when that explodes, the heat from that will cook the baguette.
The radiant baguette heat cone. And the exploding oil will cook the thing that's it. We're holding it
in our hands. And then we can fill it with fresh lettuce and some, I guess, slices of radish. And, you know, I guess, I don't know. What else is in a salad? You know, we should.
Alistair, how hard can it be to make, get ready for this. How hard can it be to make a self-cooking salad baguette crouton? I mean,
a self-cooking,
it's not rocket
one.
Science. No, you talked over the punchline.
Oh, sorry.
It's not rocket science. It's not. You did it again. It's not rocket science, Alistair.
Because it's a salad.
Rocket.
Rocket the lettuce thing?
Yeah.
I think it's got to be. It can't be a crouton. It's got to be, how hard can it be to make a salad?
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't have mentioned crouton. I knew as I was doing it that I'd
ruin that.
Alistair,
Andy's,
have you gone?
From our phone call? He must have been upset. And now
I've
got to call him back.
He's
probably
back.
Speaking as I'm speaking. And
everybody, here we go. Yes.
So here we are.
Alistair.
Hi, Andy.
Oh, hang on.
We are, apologies. We're not going to cut this out, most likely, and so just letting you know that Andy's phone call dropped out, and as we're just getting hot.
Hang on, how can it be Andy's phone call that dropped out?
I just mean, Andy, I'm not blaming you. I don't think.
No. Oh, Alistair, no, I'm not feeling blamed. I'm just wanting to clarify, in what sense was it Andy's phone call that dropped out?
I just meant my phone call with Andy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you the sense in which it was Andy's phone call that dropped out. As just something to do while the call was going on, I was just tossing my phone around in my hand and obviously hung up on you.
And so,
I mean, while you were right.
How did you come at me with such defensiveness?
Well, Alistair, I just No, okay, mate, you with defensiveness, absolutely. Because you were wrong. You were wrong to assume that it was my fault. But then after you were suitably chastened and I think deeply apologetic, rightly so, I felt that I could then, you know, reveal that in this case, you were correct.
That's excellent. But that I, you know, that my bigotry was exposed. But then also your kindness in admitting fault.
That's right.
I guess it's nice that, you know, the world is finally in balance and we can see that I'm a jerk and you're a generous man.
That's exactly, that's the lesson that we all need to learn. All right, Alistair, words from a listener.
We got three words from old-timey listener Stuart McCown.
Old-timey.
Old-timey.
Stuarty McCowney.
Stuart, yes. like many of the listener veterans that we have, has been with us for a long, long time.
It's one of the most beautiful things in the world.
It is, isn't it? And not just
we
Stu,
don't deserve it.
Not just Stu, but also the relationship that we have.
Mm.
Sometimes,
oh yeah.
Sometimes he'll tag me in something online, or I'll post something online, and then he'll just say, "Hey Al," and I'll say, "Hey Stu."
That you can say so much with so few words.
Absolutely.
That's
old couple. Really deep. It's like an old couple that doesn't
speak. Yeah. I was going to say a couple of old lighthouse keepers who've just been in the same building.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, but...
No, I haven't either.
Okay.
I wasn't even necessarily alluding to it.
Ah, well, you've chosen the wrong time in history to use that bit of imagery there.
Mm.
Andy, do you want to try and guess what the three words from a listener, mm-hmm. Stuart McCown, are?
Yeah, I do. And the first word is actually, it's interesting. It's not actually it's a proper noun. It's Joanna.
Wow.
The first word.
Sort of like Goanna with a J.
Yes, yeah. That's how I remember it.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not. It's not Joanna, unfortunately. You were incorrect this time. Stu's first word is introducing.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to try and guess what the second
new one? Introducing new
new, or did you say new or Mew? The sort of the Pokemon from which all other Pokemon have been derived.
Is one of them correct? I feel like one of them is correct. You wouldn't be asking otherwise. I'm going to say Mew, the Pokemon.
No, unfortunately, that's incorrect.
It was new.
The word was, the second word is guest host.
Okay, one sort of combined word, yeah. Hyphenated, is it?
Yeah, well, you know, the words are relatively close together.
Mm. Is the last word Stuart?
Unfortunately, that's incorrect. The last word is stew.
I mean, that even rhymes with new, or dare I say it, mew. Yeah. So, I mean,
and you got,
I feel like I was doing pretty well today.
Yeah, but that is an illusion. Yeah, but look, you did okay. So this is a running gag with, I don't think it's a gag for Stu, but Stu.
And it's not even necessarily a gag for us.
It's not a gag for us, no, but I think how long we've allowed it to run on probably makes it a gag in a way. Stu would like to come onto the podcast, and I would be happy to have him on the podcast. I think
honored,
and I think he at his last birthday, I think he got some equipment which would allow him to do that. and then it's just we still haven't organized it.
I think what people don't realize necessarily is how difficult it is for Al and I to organize just the two of us.
Oh my God.
To get together. And then like the thought of adding an extra person in is an exponential, like order of magnitude more complicated that we're just not capable of managing. And at the start of the show, when we were talking about who was the reliable one and who whether or not I declined in reliability, I feel like in some ways, if we have a career and if we've ever achieved anything, it's more like two like loose pancakes that have somehow been arranged so that they prop each other up. Mm. Like, you wouldn't think that a pancake would be capable of standing vertically.
Yeah.
But we have two floppy pancakes who are propping each other up to achieve, you know, almost the full height of a single pancake standing on its side.
Yeah.
And
maybe they're rolled up like a plinth.
Alistair, you've straight away worked out a great way to make a pancake stand up.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the engineer in me trying to figure out...
A pancake-based structure.
Well, I mean, if at some point you had to turn breakfast into a functioning building or something like that, or something to to lift the rubble off of a loved one after an earthquake or something like that, and all you had was breakfast,
and all you had was pancakes. All you had was a breakfast buffet. So there's a few different things on there, right? You've got your sausages, you've got your weird mushrooms. You've got that egg that has been made from reconstituted egg, and it's just all a little bit too much consistency.
Yeah,
and it's yellow nature.
Not enough curds in there.
Not a trace. Yeah. And you're the MacGyver of breakfast buffets. I don't know if MacGyver ever had to work with a breakfast buffet, but
I mean, look, if you think about this idea, you're kind of the guest host of this rescue mission in this cafe, this breakfast buffet, and you're given this stew of food, you know, it's a buffet, you know, it's just a mix, and you're introducing structural integrity to these things so that you can maybe build a kind of, you can tunnel your way out of this old French building that collapsed maybe because a World War One or Two bomb went off in it, that had been buried somewhere and just had the thing go off, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you, for some reason, you've chosen not to use any of the structural elements of the buffet, any of the bain-marie, any of the ladles, or the... somebody attacked the place with a big magnet, and all of that was...
It was
pulled away.
Yeah, and all you were left was foods.
The non-magnetic... I mean, that'd be a great science fiction scenario in which an alien ship flies over the Earth just with a really big magnet and steals all our metal.
Yeah, even non-ferrous
ferromagnetic.
Okay.
No, it's just ferrous metals, but still I think, you know, that would be quite significant. I mean, that's all bridges, that's all vehicles pretty much, maybe not aeroplanes. But, you know, ignoring the fact there's still ore in the Earth, but I think we'd find it difficult to extract that ore without, you know, the machinery that we've become so dependent upon.
That's true.
You know, the refineries and such.
We'd have to go back.
They're all gone.
To doing it with bone and things like that. Bone and rocks. Sort of just, I guess, start putting the ore rocks on other rocks and then hitting them with a rock.
It's just rock on rock. And a bit of aluminium.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. Is there a way of taking non-ferrous metals and making them magnetic?
I mean, I think you can pass electricity through them and turn them into an electromagnet, right? So you could get aluminium and wind it into a coil, pass electricity through it, and it would become, you know, it would generate a magnetic field that then could be attracted to either any other kind of magnet.
There you go.
Maybe they could steal
all the other metal and use them to make electromagnetic magnets so that we can so they can steal all our ferrous metal. Anyway, just something to think about.
So sorry about that.
I'm going to take us through the sketch ideas, Andy, if that's cool.
Yeah, right. Did we write something down for that last one? Did we?
I wrote down creating a structural integrity from Breakfast Buffet Rescue.
Incredible.
And
incredible.
I also wrote down Alien.
There you go, Stu.
Alien Theft of
Worthy
All Ferrous Metals.
Of your long-term support, that sketch idea.
I'm so sorry, Stu. I mean, in many ways, we're disappointing you twice in this. Stu, we will get you on one day. Thank you for being so consistent in wanting to do it. I mean, you haven't asked for about 6 months, I think, since we broke your heart, maybe. But thank you. And then here's the sketch ideas. We've got company that organizes a meeting with you, then doesn't show or shows up late to give you guilt-free free time. They have to put a hard sell on you. Andy's been goddamn flipping his phone again because he just hung up again. Shall I dare accuse him of being responsible for this fuck-up, do you think? I will try. I'm going to be ballsy enough and really try. Let's see. Look, it says it's calling now. It says that it's ended. So maybe he's attempted to call me. I will attempt again to call him. Now it is ringing.
I did it again. I did the exact same thing again.
Andy, here I come. I'm going to say I accuse you of that being your fault.
That was exactly... I did it again, Alistair. I hung up on you again.
What a son of a bitch. And
I don't know what's wrong with me. This has never happened before in the history of the podcast. I don't know why I've suddenly started fiddling with the phone that is hosting the phone call. I'm actually sweating. I'm so embarrassed.
Well, at least they'll have that great... The listeners will have that great moment of us both talking to try and keep entertaining them.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't actually say anything this time. Okay. I was too ashamed.
Oh, good. Well, that's a good emotion to feel. Even though I don't want you to feel bad.
Yeah, you know it's me.
All right. Then we got Canister of Steam. Great new product. Come and get a canister of steam so that you can just have steam at any time of the day.
Well, it's actually pretty good. Like, this could be used to just spray cook things. It's probably safer and better than the one with the can of boiling hot oil. I think just being able to just squirt out a vent some steam. You know, you get your sandwich there. You're like, you know what? I wish the sandwich was steamed.
Yeah.
You can now spray some steam onto the sandwich.
I mean, the sandwich is not a thing
sandwich.
That you steam, but you could
slice some carrots.
You know,
who hasn't had a sandwich and said, I wish this was hot and soggy?
Yeah. I guess, you know, a bao. A bao is sort of like a...
hot, soggy sandwich.
Well, they managed to get it steamed, but protect the outside from allowing it to turn soggy. It must have like an egg wash on it or something.
Well, I think it's just a different type of bread.
It's like it's a submarine bread. It's a bread made for eating underwater.
Exactly.
You could
it's
probably
an amphibious
bread. You could take a bao or a manto into the sea. Say you were trying to drown yourself. You know, you put rocks in your pockets and you're going walking out to sea. But you want a snack along the way.
It's a long walk. It's one of those really shallow beaches.
Yeah. But also you're saving it up till your head is already in the water.
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily have to eat it underwater, but if you're carrying it in your pockets, it'll be great that you could be up to your shoulders. And that bow that you've got in your pocket there hasn't gone bad. Yeah. So you can have a little snack as you push on towards there.
Then we got Perpetual Piss Machine, which is a great idea. That would get rid of all mental illness.
This idea feels like it was so long ago.
Yeah, it feels like it's in the longest episode.
Weeks ago, this idea.
Gold-painted statue death. That's when somebody wants to find a funny way to die, and they paint themselves in gold as a statue, and then they... you know, it'd be funny. Exactly. You see them painting themselves, and they take, like, the oxygen out of their nose. The little oxygen pipe that they put in, you know?
That's right.
Take that out, and they're kind of painting their face, and it's going to be funny. And they also wear Spanx to hold in their death bloat. Then we got death fashion / experience, which is for the living. You know, that's all the various things that you can do to keep your body looking vibrant while you're there on an open casket.
It's already a real taboo thing to ask somebody if they're pregnant, right?
Yeah.
Because
asking them if they're dead?
Now it's also, it should be an even greater taboo to say, oh, are you bloating from the gaseous release of your decomposing corpse.
Yeah, is your...
That's also, you can't... It's never polite to us. Just don't risk it. It's not worth the risk.
Or, you know, or saying, is your face puffy due to 3 days of being floating in a river?
Congratulations. Oh, my God. I'm so happy for you that they dragged you out of that river.
What?
So when's it... Oh. When's it due? Your funeral, I mean. When are they going to inter your bloated corpse?
Rude. I'm going to write it down. Rude to ask if
someone's dead
is bloated from having died.
It is rude, though.
Died.
You know?
Yeah, it is rude.
You can't say anything. You think you're taking an interest, but you know, no, it's just not worth it.
Then the next idea is into the Piaf verse. And then it's the version of her where she had that dry salad and then eventually was discovered and created her restaurant, Genevieve Vinaigrette Rien.
I have this bizarre feeling we've talked about this before, and I know we haven't.
Yeah.
There's no way we could have talked about that.
Well, there's a universe where we have, and so... Probably the one where she existed. We would talk about it all the time. It's the only thing that would be on our mind is this salad bar with no vinaigrette. Let's just say that rude to ask if someone is bloated from having died, that can be Stu's sketch.
That's good. That's a better sketch.
You know?
That's a better
Stu,
thing to give
you. That's for you. Thanks, Stu. Thanks for coming on, Stu. Then we got the salad bouquet, Andy's business idea. And then we've got creating structural integrity from breakfast buffet rescue. Then we've got alien thefts of all ferrous metals. Ooh, I wonder what that would be like. And then we got the...
KFC has gives food in a bucket. They should give something in a bouquet. They should do that as a... Does it have a name, the bucket at KFC?
Yeah, the bucket, I think. The KFC bucket.
Right. Well, then, an April Fool's thing. They should do the KFC bouquet.
Yeah, I think that
would
be
all their favorites, but arranged into a bouquet.
You know, you say that now, and I've realized I think there's a thing where people put chicken nuggets into a wedding bouquet.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah. And then we got rude to ask if someone is bloated from having died.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. We like that you do that. And it's been very nice to have your support. It's been very nice to chat to people on the Discord.
Get onto the Discord. Go onto our Twitter
and find
the link, or it'll be in the link in the notes. We're at Two and Tank. I'm at Alistair TB.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
Listen to the pop test.
Listen to the pop test. Yeah, a bit of plugging.
Listen to Shusher. I'm going to do an episode one day again. I just thought of one last night. I want you to imagine.
Oh, that's exciting.
What it would be like if there was a crab on a ball. I don't know why I thought that would be good, but for some reason I'm picturing the crab somehow managing to stay up on the ball.
Yeah, great.
And then asking, how did the crab get on the ball?
That is a really good question. That didn't occur to me to ask that, but that's even harder to imagine than a crab staying on a ball.
Yeah.
Is a crab getting on a ball?
Because when it tries to move one way, I think it would actually make the ball move the other way.
Wow. Incredible.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. I hope your lives are going good. I hope hope you're not in a place where the virus is too bad.
Give yourself a break. Here's a piece of advice. If you're buying a vacuum cleaner, spend an extra $50.
All right.
Just buy a slightly better vacuum cleaner. Because we got a better vacuum cleaner recently, and it's really made a huge difference to my life.
Oh, that's so nice. Is it a robot one?
No, because we have our floors are too uneven for a robot.
There are steps. Just get an uneven robot.
It's true. One with legs.
Yeah. Talk to you later.
And we love you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.